Yes.
Grissom.
Yes.
Cranberry, yes. Brock.
Yes.
Hebert.
Yes.
And McKinnon is absent. All right.
School board meetings are a breeze.
No stress on anybody.
Yeah.
pauses.
I never started it. Oops.
You got it?
You guys are good.
happened one day to actually be at the door when she buzzed and wanted to come in. I'd like to thank her. It was very sweet and buy something with her.
Near me, what did you say?
Ruth. R-U-P-H. She's been a beautiful house, a beautiful decorative, they're small, they're made for little children, you know, so, and those are kind of hard to get. So, those are the two questions.
Okay. Announcements and recognition. Mungo, learning curriculum for your up. So we're excited in regards to students returning. So I just wanted to go over things like students continue to return back to school. Last September we had 61 elementary students, but it shows full remote, and now we only have 50. On the middle school, as we know, this is full remote in the fall, and now they're in hybrid, and there's only 31 remote learners.
So, you know, we have breaking news last Thursday when the governor announced the second order directing schools to offer 5 days a week of instruction. And then he also indicated that students and families may choose to remain in hybrid and remote learning. So this, you know, kind of set the stage of superintendents off into a tailspin bit because none of us anticipated this. So we were able to submit questions to the governor last Friday about his order. And so the three questions I had was, did this order include that we have to maintain 2 feet spacing? Because we haven't been able to open our middle school and high school fully because we couldn't guarantee 2 feet. And his response was that the need to be in school and to support students' mental health outweighs the need to be 3 feet apart. So in other words, do it. We're not going to worry about 3 feet. And then I asked a question about busing. And, you know, the kids would be the same thing, 3 feet on the bus. And he said the students would be safe as long as they remain seated in their seats. And then the last question is, if you saw the press conference, he mentioned that all the teachers would be vaccinated by April 19th. That's not true for us. Our second shot clinic is until April 23rd, and then it's 2 weeks after that. So we all across the state, everybody asked if we could wait until the teachers are fully vaccinated to go all in. And his response was that no, that the schools are safe for everybody, whether you're vaccinated or not. So. In other words, teachers have to come in whether they're vaccinated or not. So I've met a couple of times with Ann Landry and Mr. Lewis and Ms. Corius to discuss this. We met again this afternoon. And so tomorrow I'll be doing communication with families, asking them to make a request to our principal by this Friday as to if they want to go full time. But I will also explain to the families that you know, there's a risk of being closer than 3 feet, and that they need to take that in consideration in their planning. And one of the concerns we have is the lunchrooms, because they take the mask off, and it's supposed to be 6 feet apart when they take the mask off. So in both cases, middle school and high school, both principals have indicated they're going to open up another lunch period. So in high school, I think there are 3, there are 4. We talked about looking at other spaces to have lunch, maybe renting a tent here at high school so students can go outside. But that is all dependent on how many students request to be full time. Now you should know that our 2 schools have been very flexible this year. We already have 132 students at high school that attend this year. Mr. Horius has not denied any request. So that's a significant number out of 400 students. So then at the middle school, it's 52 students that attend every year. So we already have significant populations of students that are in 5 days a week. We saw the remote learners, and then we had the high rest of the night. So we will find out by the end of the week where we stand, how many requests we have there, and then they're going to do their very best to accommodate, continue to shuffle classes around different spaces, but not being able to guarantee 3 foot spacing until we know how many students. But at this point, we have no choice but to move forward. So there's that. If you have questions about that, go ahead, Mr. Conley.
Okay. Well, I understand for Eon that there's been a 900 square foot classroom size requirement. And I know some of the classrooms is a lot of wood space spaces, displays, and other things, like the room we were just in, you know, it's a public area.
They're giving you 10 to 10. Yes. Although we do have some rooms that are smaller than the 900 square feet. Mike, I'm sure you know, is on the top floor down on the end.
There are two at each floor level. Two rooms up to each end. They're only about 1 or 2.
Yeah. They were for smaller group construction.
Yep.
And those are not.
They were originally designed as seminar rooms.
Okay.
But they're being used for that class.
Yeah. And they're not being used this year. So we lost, but already we have one of our teachers uses the library as a classroom. We took the students out of the music band room and they use the auditorium. And the band room is used by one of our math teachers. So there's been a lot of that already, but they're going to go back in and look at, you know, there might be a different classroom here or there that's not used for one period. You know, so they're going to, so that's why I'm going to really ask the families to notify us by the end of this week, because that'll give the principals next week to plan and to figure that out. But we're going to make every attempt we can. We're going to do our best. It'll be interesting to see, since we already have 132 that are here to be met. You know, and I can't imagine that the students who are fully remote, that was their choice, that they're going to want to come back. You know, I mean, they've already made that decision. I'd be surprised. They haven't wanted to become a hybrid. Why would they want to come full time? So.
But it has been 760 students that are in high school.
That's correct. That's what we have to do.
So do you need any additional funds for potentially renting 10?
We could use the ESSER funds.
Okay.
Yep.
And as to the concern about being fully vaccinated, how long have we been open with the elementary schools with teachers in person who have had, for the most part, no vaccination, and we haven't had any issues, major infections because of it? And I would assume that those staff members that are 65 and older have already been through both vaccines, the most at risk. And I understand even with just the first shot, you're 50% to 60% after the first shot, even, you know, before you. So I think with continuing precautions, with social distancing and masks, we should be at home.
We should. And they're going to, you know, I'm very confident in our administrators, our principals, to, you know, figure it out. They're going to be very fast. And it certainly is helpful that we're heading into the warmer season so we can get kids outside and have other teachers, you know, express an interest in developing an outdoor classroom. You know, we said we would assist them with that, with maybe some tents or some parks or something. You know, so people want to do that. And we're going to really support them.
So with the ones we've been having lately.
Yeah, I
don't know. I'm hesitant unless they're really well attached. Other thing is that elementary school kids have their own assigned desk and a little plastic classroom.
Right.
They have a little plastic areas on each of their desks in elementary school.
So that's that. And then
is there going to be an opportunity for public comment on this?
Yes, we have public comment at the end.
Okay, just checking. Okay.
You betcha.
So the next, can I go on to my new business now?
I'm sorry. Just two quick questions. My first one is, what are we going to do about teachers that don't want to come back since this is a mandate? What if they don't want to come back because all this is now in place? Because I know there's still fears out there with people. Is that set up to have those rooms covered if teachers don't want to come back?
We could. I mean, we've had, you know, we've accommodated teachers. We have about 5 people in the district with ADA, you know, American Disability Act request, where they had doctor's letters saying it wasn't safe for them, with underlying health conditions. And we accommodated them by allowing them to teach remotely from home when we had care professionals or something in the building. If it came to that, we could do that again. But they're going to need, it has to go through ADA requests. Has to come to the doctor's letter. It's not just, you know, just randomly, I don't feel like going type of thing. They can't do that. But they have to have a legitimate reason, and I'd be surprised if there were more, because we would have to have those.
I was going to say,
approach that we've given a lot of thought is we're moving forward as if everybody's vaccinated. We provided the opportunity, we're hosting our own clinic. I don't think we can do much more than that.
Okay.
That's my feeling, and if people chose not to get vaccinated, I think we have to go forward in our planning as if everybody is. Because we don't know, you're correct, because we do know that they have gone to other clinics, some of our people, you know, so, but we're never really going to know, because it's not required to be answered here. And you can't require it. But we're going to go forward as if they all have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to tell you, you do not have a hybrid, you need to let the knowledge around.
varies depending on the bus route, you know. And so this year, if you recall, when we started in August, I asked parents, really strongly recommended that parents transport their own student, you know, because of the bus situation. So we're pretty much right now at a point where the most we have is one student. One student in a student.
With, before we go.
But again, I'm going to, when we, you know, in my letter tomorrow to parents, I'm also going to suggest that if they choose, if they want to come back full, you know, if they can, to stop the transport. If the bus is going to be a little, it's going to be more. There's no doubt about it.
And just two other comments. One would be that, you know, it's interesting to see that people that elected to full time right now, however, it's an assumption that those were, they're doing that realizing the numbers are in school. So maybe they'll all move into it, but maybe they wouldn't because now it's a different scenario.
So that's correct.
Point, right?
We won't.
Right. We won't know until, right, you're going to reach out. But that is just something that's coming up for me. That it's an interesting assumption.
You asked those questions, you got really nonsense answers. Thanks for asking.
what services you might put some of these things on use, or I'm asking the board to approve these changes. Isolation, quarantine after infection, individuals with COVID-19 might isolate after 10 days, following a positive test result, and then determine the school provided symptoms for improving, and they're fever-free without these medications for 24 hours. So that used to be 14 days.
No, that would be the change.
Well, that would be a change. That would have a little effect. Mm-hmm. Right. The quarantine after exposure outside of the school. Exposed outside of school, the students and staff who are exposed to someone COVID-19 were considered a close contact as defined in the venture right among the cousins. Receive services in the point 10 days from the date of last exposure. Please note there are times someone may need to quarantine for 20 days if a household member needs to quarantine. So that means if your brother had it and you had it, you have to wait until his 10 days or over before your 10 days stop. Basically.
So, and that was a reduction of 14 days. So it needs to be a 14-day quarantine.
So quarantine at school, this is big. This is a big change for us. And it kind of flies in the face a little bit of what the government is doing now. But students and staff who are exposed to someone with COVID-19 in a classroom setting and not required to quarantine, provided they are seated 3 feet apart and were consistently wearing a mask. All cases will be reviewed to check for compliance with 3 feet space and mask wearing. So if you recall what we've done during the year, like we had a kindergarten class with a student with a positive test, we shut down the whole class and send those emails that sent you. Now this is saying you just take the student positive case out and the rest of the class can still go on, provided there are 3 feet apart. So now you can see that if we get into the middle of the high school, nothing's changing in the elementary school with what's happening in the government school. But if we're not able to keep students apart as we go down the road here, that might be difficult. So we can find. Then quarantine after travel, another big one. So people that were traveling outside of New England, if you recall, had to quarantine upon return out of the government. Provided they got anything along the way, had to check on that when they were traveling. But that was, so those two were big changes. International travel.
Here, could we make one more change? A request came in today from one of the nurses on the quarantine after travel. And just to clarify, it's within the United States or its territories, because, you know, if you go to travel to the U.S. Virgin Island, you still don't need to quarantine because it's a territory. So
Can
you just add that language in there?
Okay. Within the United States and
or its territory.
And international travel is what the outside of New England travel used to be, where you had to quarantine for 10 days. So if you're international or on cruise ship. So those are the changes I'm recommending and do motions.
I move that we accept the proposed COVID-19 update of April 5th, 2021 as presented at today's meeting.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Work for COVID-19 through a one-time $1,000 right now, we are receiving funds from the federal government. We refer to them as ESSER-2, ESSER-3. So the ESSER-3 fund is, we haven't actually received it yet. We've been told it'll be about $3.4 million to be expended by, or be obligated by September of 2024. And we also have already, and that one has the stipulation that at least 20% of it has to be spent support students with learning losses. And we've already received the ESSER-2, which is $1.5 million. And we are planning, well, that doesn't have any requirements for 20% learning loss. And we're working on a plan right now, actually, for both of those. To look at facilities, we have more ventilation projects, smaller, you know, for the middle school. Windows, and we know a lot of people know about windows at the middle school. We also have windows at Hampton School that we're replacing. So right now, it's waiting for estimates and things like that. But my recommendation tonight is we have a need, talking to our administrative team, based on, you know, what's happened with COVID-19, to add more guidance counseling. The rationale there is that, you know, during this pandemic, we've had students who've been out of school a lot, who are suffering from mental health issues. Our guidance counseling scheduling, they teach a guidance class, and they move around in different buildings. So Bridgewater is shared, Danville. So there's very little time for actual counseling, like one-on-one child needs help. They're always running around and doing other things. So that's what this is about. So at the last meeting, I asked the board to approve for the remainder of this year to extend our part-time guidance counselor and get to the full-time. So I'm gonna ask for that to happen next year. That's the first item there. And then add a full-time guidance counselor to be shared between Danbury and Bristol Elementary School. And that would allow our current Bridgewater, Hebron, and Danbury guidance counselor to remain in Bridgewater, which would be really helpful there. And then we would like to add a student support person. We're doing this as a pilot program right now for Bristol Elementary School. It's kind of a safe place for those students who are affected by trauma, things that are happening in their homes, and we're training that person to support those students and work with the students on strategies on how to deal with these feelings that they have and get them to a point where they can return to the classroom. And I remember my days of, you know, as a principal, oftentimes those students would just come home. They have this big outburst. And really, you know, their safest place to be is the school. So sending them home oftentimes is a great thing. But also gets them back in school, keeps them in school, but continue to learn. So that's those three, those positions there, are very important for what we want to do for next year.
All right, I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. So Danbury is going from a shared position to a shared position?
Well, it's going to be mostly Danbury. It's just right now it's going to need to determine.
All right, I'm not fighting for Danbury being there on the full-time one. Because they've been sharing now and she's barely keeping up.
Well, it's going to be a higher percentage than what it is now.
Does Bristol have their full-time?
No, Bristol has one full-time.
So Bristol has a full-time. New Hampton now will have a full-time.
Right.
Bridgewater and Hebron will have a full-time. Danbury doesn't have a full-time.
Well, Danbury is much smaller than Bristol is much.
But as the one thing, I suppose they may have some other issues with all the other
institutions. At Danbury.
From the looks of everything.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, you know, it's still to be determined how much. And I I would say that it's going to be much more than what we have now for part-time.
Yeah, much.
It's 3-2.
Right?
I think one of the things we talked about was really kind of evaluating the needs and giving us some time to look at data. I think there is a chance that that could need to be a full-time at the end, or I think there might be enough need for that, but we just haven't had the time to determine if we can really, you know what I mean, like if the need's there.
Right.
If the need's not there, what we talked about was then sharing with Bristol maybe one day a week, but not, it's not like a 50-50.
It's like a, okay.
Primary
Danbury,
we might need.
She's only there 2 days a week.
Yeah. Can that be broken up, as we talked earlier, that we have TDs percentage for us? So that would be formally planned. I have a question on these, generally, are these kind of proactive or reactive situations with kids in terms of how they can have these positions utilized?
Right now it's reactive because their hands are tied. But what the goal of this is to make it more proactive, to teach students strategies for kind of self-regulating so that they can then manage to be in the classroom more and not need the extra.
Is it like all kids see them and then they assess and kind of work with people that need it, or is it more, that's what I was kind of getting trying to
do. Oh, sorry. So at the elementary school, they're in the class, they're assigned to, they teach classes, and then it's students who need to see them can see them. By increasing the amount of time at some of these, then they'll be more accessible. So right now, it could be if you're only in the school, for example, I have children at Bridgewater. My son needed to see Mrs. Connor, but she wasn't there that day, so they had an appointment for Friday, because that was the next time. She had time in her schedule that she wasn't teaching, that she was going to be in the building. Whereas by having her there full time, if he fills out the little slip that says, I feel like I need to see the counselor, it might be that day or the next day instead of having to wait.
How often do they identify him? Are there teacher referrals?
There are teacher referrals. So one of the things the guidance counselors did this year was, in some of their summer, was to create a form so that it's put out to the administrators, put it out to the teachers. Anybody can make a referral. If somebody notices something that's different, they can fill out a Google form that goes directly to the guidance counselor, and she's the only one who can see it, and then they know to make the appointment. Or a child can self-select. Like I said, I think that's might be building by building, however they do it. I know at Bridgewater, they can fill out a little slip of themselves that says, I feel like I need to see someone.
One of the things that's not presented on here, we'll be meeting with the guidance counseling staff, and one of the concerns we have is that we really think they need some additional training around trauma and these mental health issues, so kind of what could be funded, through the ESSER grant, is some training, over the summer or something. So if this gets approved, then we're going to be working with the guidance counselors.
So I really don't want to get out of any rabbit holes, but in the preamble, there are images of knowing how the term learning loss is, how that's defined.
Well, it's going to be defined through assessments. We have Jeanette was talking about all the different assessments that we have. Then we have the spring, we have the ANTRA-SAS. ANTRA-SAS is what VCAP used to be, VIAC and all that. So it'll be data driven.
Are they summative assessments, Jeanette, or are they?
So are we talking about the behavior or the For instance, 20% must be sent on supporting students with learning loss. But it doesn't say what support, it doesn't matter for them to be
active. That's their language.
It could be a social emotional, that's why the learning loss has happened, because.
Well, that's what we're discussing, but I would think that a lot of this is about making up the gaps in learning as a result of thinking.
That's correct.
So
we also need to make sure that the parents understand that when they lapse, it's not, oh my gosh, the school board just cut 10 teachers. That they understand that these were to catch our kids up from the COVID, and that when it's over, it's over. I am glad to hear Jeanette talk about some of the assessments, because I have long been concerned about the assessments, particularly the drop-off. If you track the kids in the elementary school, and there are two elementary schools that are stars, that their kids' assessments are much higher than some of the other elementary schools. But they all seem to drop when they get middle school, track the grades. And I'm glad to hear that there's been more assessments done like that, and that's something that I'd like to see more attention paid to catching those kids up that have before COVID were already not middle school.
Okay, so next, literacy specialists. So again, in Danbury, so each of our four elementary schools, three of them already have literacy specialists. Danbury doesn't. So we know that there's a high need there for reading achievement gaps to the kids on the principal level. So we're recommending that we hire a full-time reading specialist, and that'll also be helpful in those two. We have two classrooms, or the combined classrooms. We have second and third grade together for fifth, and that person will also help with ELA with those students. And then we want to hire one literacy specialist to be shared between middle school and high school. As we're doing our transition meetings now for next year, it's coming clear that, remember now, it's not just this year that we had remote. Started March last year, when nobody was in school for the rest of the year, that we have now identified gaps in their reading skills that we really need to address. So that came clear from our two principals, Mr. Lewis and Mr. Horius, and so that's where that came. Special education tutor, again, that three elementary schools have a tutor there does not, so we're going to support funding that position or close funding for that position. Again, is providing academic interventions for our students. And there's a really big need for that. Psychologists, we currently have 1.8 FTE psychologists. 1.0 is funding and local budget. 0.8 is through the IDEA grant, the special ed grant. So we are recommending that we go to 2.0. So basically what that means is we have a 5-day a week person who's at the high school and middle school, and we have a 4-day a week person.
And that shares
with
all the
share amongst the elementary schools. Most people do the assessments, and counseling. So this gives us an extra day we need to there. And then the last part is full-time substitute teachers. So, here we're trying to help our students with, the recovery and closing those gaps. But what happens, because we can't hire full-time substitutes, based on $7 a day paid. These would be paraprofessional type level positions, but they would have benefits, which we're more likely to attract somebody. And what that'll do, what happens now when you don't have a substitute, if your son or daughter was scheduled to have time with a literacy specialist, the literacy specialist will get pulled out and put into the classroom and used as a substitute. So those students who are supposed to have those interventions and supports don't get not really great for those kids. And then the same thing happens with tutors. So those two kind of get picked on there, and then those students get left out and they don't get great support. So this would help us with that. Also, it'll help us as we work in our So we feel that, you know, those three would be, you know, like under control of the SAU office. We would assign them principals or ask for them ahead of time. You know, sometimes randomly out of the blue, you know, you have like a small school like New Hampton might have three teachers that follow sick on the same day. That could be perfect. You can look at the school, it only has five teachers. So that happened, you know, like there are times where all of a sudden, you know, Jeanette closes everything up and runs out there and substitutes for them just because and then now she can't do her regular work to get to the school. So we feel that's much needed. You can see the total would be about $411,000 per year. So basically, if that was done for 4 years, I'm not suggesting that. You can do the math, it's about 1.6 million out of the 3.4 that we're receiving. But what we would be doing is each year, we would review how things are going and then they would make decisions about the following. You know, we may decide we need more pay, we need more literacy specialists. So if we don't, whatever it is, we have to start somewhere. The funding is there, certainly any contract, you know, Fran's point that a teacher receives, you know, it says, it's not in all the time, it says grant funded, you know, so they will, that certainly will be made clear. So we think this is a good start. Some of the other things that are on here that we haven't got set yet for the money is like the ESSA grant allows for summer school and enrichment programs. We're working on that. Those things always happen. So that we can fund those instead of that local money we can fund that. Okay.
So we, in order to open those positions, we have to make a motion to accept.
To approve.
Is the evaluation of the school board. Did we include that in there?
we can send it out.
Okay, yeah, if we could send out the samples of the evaluation to the school board to have them take a look at them, because some of the questions you'll see on there are not pertinent to us, so we can sort of get rid of them. But I'd like to streamline them better for us to use and make it appropriate for our school board. I know one is from the state school board, and I forget what the other one was from.
The one is your current?
The current one, okay. Let's sort of take a look at them, and then we'll sort of throw them together. Send me your ideas, email them to me, and I'll sort of throw them together in a new evaluation, and then have it ready for the second reading. First reading in 2 weeks. I was getting it on the front. That's a recreation. So that was just my main concern, was just to take a look. We'll get them sent to them, so they can take a look at them.
We don't think it was wrong, because we just got them tonight.
Yeah, he's got them tonight.
So we don't think it was wrong.
No, no.
This is for lovely nighttime reading.
This is for your nighttime reading.
No, this is your first reading.
But we need to get them ahead of time.
Yeah, they just got them.
We can't take a motion on it for first reading.
Oh, okay.
Usually we get them in the mail with a packet. Usually, but you guys are probably mailed out with packets.
We met on Thursday.
Right, yeah. So this is probably in hand for us, I'll look for you.
Let them all work, but we'll put them on for first reading.
First reading will be done in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we just get the evaluation done before that.
I'll send them up.
Yeah, have them look at them, and then send me your ideas, suggestions. I'll throw them all together in one evaluation.
Because the handbooks are in here.
Handbooks are in here, yep.
The handbooks and technology support specialist, is that in there too?
Yes.
Yes.
All of that is.
Everything's in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they reach
certainly the board, the committee could ask for non-public before the thing did tonight.
Absolutely.
And they can update the rest of the board.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we could somehow disseminate that information, like you said, before. They want the papers and the annual report. I'm sure we could figure out.
Yeah, so we have said, we've got, most departments, we would have just. Sometimes it's a little hard to say what's going on in a couple of levels, which I didn't manage to know. But that was the, I think that was the one drawback. That maybe they couldn't get a feel for the whole picture and by what was brought back to them. But if you have a whole, what is another thing that goes on, you know, we have a schedule. I mean, they need to get a whole board there, most of what is obvious to some. So, the throwbacks in the way, but it was a lot of years.
Right, that's why I just put three, but it was a new one, so I checked this. So we'll just do a raise of hands. How many people want to keep it at three, the less than four? Okay, well, that's good, I guess. We'll keep it at that. So then, I think the assignment, if anyone has any issues or concerns. Policy committee facilities.
And guess what? I'm terrible with them.
Anybody have any questions to, I make a motion to accept the school board committee assignments for 2021-2022? All those in favor, or no, further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Public comment? Want to say anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Erin Edwards, I'm from Hebron. I'm a teacher at the middle school, and I have students at both middle school and high school. I just want to let you all know how much, as a faculty, we've really appreciated the thoughtfulness that has gone into all the decisions that have been made for health and safety of us, for the faculty, and for students, and over the last several months. And the transition back at the middle school has been really good. So this was really disappointing to hear the decision made by the governor. I think we're all kind of like still reeling from it. And then just the whole, his response, the sex ed so kind of response, which is really frustrating because one of the things that has impressed me so far, since I've been living in this area, is that most of the decisions, the state allows for some flexibility on the part of the SAUs. And there is none in this case, which I just don't really understand, especially given the vaccine issue. So that's very disappointing to us, but I do appreciate everything that you guys have done. The vaccine setup that you guys had for the first one was so nice. And we really liked all the communication, by the way. It was very well done, so thank you. I think one of the things as a parent and just like anecdotally that I'm seeing in schools is the passing is going to be really difficult. So I'm hoping we can open up. I know there are certain rules about opening up some more of the stairwells for passing, because if we're having everybody in there, it's going to be too condensed at certain ends. And I'd also like to see some money go into purchasing some picnic tables so the kids can eat outside, or maybe like folding chairs the kids could grab and then they could sit outside, because I think that's going to be the biggest challenge is during lunch.
We've discussed those. And those are great suggestions to Mr. Lewis too. We're talking about those things today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Policy and negotiations.
Yep, I got that.
You got a yellow one. You got to look for a white paper.
text that I just got about something that happened to me. Before our policy committee, one of my teachers at Plymouth wore a mask that said, "This mask is as useless as Joe Biden." And now a bunch of people are trying to get him in trouble.